Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Gals Podcast. Sharon Vornholt is your host and the creator of the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, where you will learn how to become a savvy real estate investor, make money, build streams of passive income, and create a lifestyle and a business you love. Whether you're a seasoned real estate investor or just getting started, this show is for you. Now, let's talk real estate investing.
This is Sharon Vornholt with the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, here today with another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing. My guest today is my friend Mike Hambright from Evolution Properties. You probably know Mike from his popular podcast, The Flip Nerd, where he does expert interviews every week. Mike is from Dallas, Texas, where he lives with his wife and his son. And today we're going to talk about the importance of building a network. Hi, Mike, and thanks for coming on again.
Hey, Sharon. Great to be with you.
You know, this is a topic that we have talked about a couple of different times, and I think networking is so overlooked by people trying to build their real estate investing businesses. So let's start out, you know, give people a little bit of your background. I think just about everybody knows you, and then we'll just dive right into networking.
Sure. Yeah. Like you said, I'm Mike Hambright. I'm an investor in Dallas. I wear a number of different hats, like a lot of real estate investors do. So, in addition to have being the kind of, I guess, co-founder with my wife of the Flip Nerd platform, which we'll talk a little bit more about. As an investor, I'm a part of the Homevestors We Buy Ugly Houses system in Dallas, and then I mentor and coach actually a very large group of franchisees all across the country. So. So we bought, you know, I guess if I go back kind of about eight years ago, I think it'll be 8 years this July, roughly. So summer of 2008, basically, we started and had literally never bought a house in our lives. We had just bought our personal house, the one personal house we lived in. So we had no experience, and we ended up, you know, joining the Homevestor system because we saw the value in the franchise and having a kind of done-for-you type business in a box, if you will, which is kind of how a franchise works. And we just worked really, really hard to, no doubt about it, that this is a difficult business. But we bought, I guess, about 65 houses in our first year and just really started cranking. And then for several years, we kind of ran at about that level, you know, 50 to 70 houses a year. And ultimately bought hundreds of houses here and then, you know, started teaching other people what we had learned and our lessons along the way. And even to this day, we're still buying houses. In fact, I bought a house. I sold a house yesterday that I just bought last week and closing on another house that we're going to rehab today. So we're still, you know, fairly active on that front as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you certainly know the importance of networking. So, you know, why do you think it is people underestimate networking? Do they just not understand the value, or why do you think they do that?
Well, I think, you know, I think some of it just because of this world we live in today with social media, people have started to associate building relationships with how many friends they have on a social platform or something.
Yeah.
I'm a victim of that too. You're like, hey, all right, let me like this guy or let me connect to this woman, whoever it is. But those aren't real relationships. You know, they might evolve into something real, but I think a lot of people get so busy that they just kind of sit behind a computer and kind of do the relationship building that way. But that's not ultimately a meaningful relationship if that's all you do, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, don't you agree that the best relationships come certainly through some sort of personal interaction. Like it could be like we're doing, or it could be one-on-one, face-to-face meetings, but it's all about building those relationships.
For sure. Yeah. I think, and I think the other challenge that, I don't know if I say it's a challenge. I think that a lot of real estate investors and just a lot of people, we all kind of want to take a pill and lose 20 pounds or, you know, we want everything kind of right now. We want immediate gratification. And that's just not how networking is. You don't have in your mind, I need to buy a house, so let me go to a RIA club meeting and buy a house tonight. That's just not how it works. Now, you could build relationships that might turn into you buying a house 3 months from now or 3 years from now. But unless you're kind of planting those seeds to harvest down the road. And you're taking the conscious effort to know that I'm investing in my future right now. I'm going to go to this meeting or this event, or to go talk to this group of people, or go have lunch or coffee with this one person. Unless you're doing some of those activities, then you're not kind of investing in your future of the benefits that you'd get from networking, because you're probably not going to get anything out of it at that immediate time. It's going to be down the road.
Mm-hmm. That brings up an interesting question. You know, people, a lot of us are always marketing. But so a lot, like you said, a lot of your deals come down the road from something you did in the past. Do you have any idea how that all works out numbers-wise? You know, a certain amount of your deals come certainly from marketing. But over time, there's no doubt you get more deals from the people you know.
Yeah, I would say I'll give you some. This is an estimate, but this is not far off. So I would tell you that probably more than 90% of my deals happen from follow-up. Now, that's not necessarily networking. You know, we advertise a lot to generate leads in our business. So when I first started, there was a lot of pride in kind of like the one call close. You know, I went on an appointment and I got a contract. And then I think hopefully this will resonate with somebody that's hearing this. You kind of prided yourself on the ability to get a deal done like on the spot. And there's nothing wrong with that, and it happens. But you got to wonder if you go out on an appointment, because we're dealing with people, you know, we buy directly from sellers in my business, for example. Mm-hmm. So you got to wonder if you're not paying too much if that happens. Like, do they feel enough? If you make an offer to somebody and they say, I'll take it, then your first thought should be, that was too easy. Like, what gives here? And so, but on the relationship side, the networking side, you know, the truth is the hardest part about this business generally is finding deals, finding good deals. And so that means the people that you're building a relationship with, they have that same challenge. So they don't have a deal for you tomorrow. But what you want to do is make sure that you built a strong enough relationship to where when they come across that deal that you could be interested in 6 months from now, that they even remember who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I agree with you, what you say, too. That's always my first thought. If somebody takes my deal, it's like, man, I just offered too much. I think in today's market, deals are certainly harder to come by in most markets. And I think the value of networking is even more important today than possibly it was when deals were plentiful. You know, back like when you got started to 2008 period, gosh, everything was on sale in 2008.
Right. Yeah, I would say I agree with that completely. And I think, you know, a lot of people that have built, I mean, this comment would have been more relevant a couple of years ago than it is today. But there's a bunch of people that you probably know quite a few like this that built their business on specific things like short sales or REOs or things that don't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you haven't built a way, I would say this. For as much as we're talking about networking today, which is critical, that's not the core of my business. I mean, I advertise, I do a lot of other things. But what you start to see in real estate investing is that where you make your money is kind of on the fringes, right? So if you do a couple deals a month, for some people, like if you run it really lean, if you're the only person doing it, then that may be great and good enough. But if you run it like a business and you have staff and you have an office and things like that, and you're spending money on advertising, well, you've got a nut to crack every month, right? You have overhead that you have to cover. And so you may have to do a deal or two, a decent deal or two, just to break even. Mm-hmm. And so then what happens is, like, let's say that your break even is doing, you know, two deals a month, for example. Well, three deals is good. Five deals is awesome because you've kind of overcome your fixed costs and everything, you know, most of it above that is gravy. So each of those deals you get kind of on the fringe, each extra deal you get is, I don't want to say it's pure profit, but you've already kind of covered your overhead costs. And so by doing things like networking and building relationships, when those deals come back around, and if you do it enough, they come back around, you know, often, then all that work is kind of gravy on top of everything else you do.
Right. And it all goes back to don't put all your eggs in one basket. Now, I can remember when people were doing short sales and there were so many REOs. A lot of people that had been doing direct mail just quit doing it. And then there came the day when all that dried up and they had to start from scratch.
Right.
So I think, you know, I know you didn't do that. I didn't do that. But, yeah, I agree with you. Those you need a certain amount of deals to cover your expenses and just to get by. And then each deal proportionately gets more valuable because it's more, like you said, it's almost pure profit at that point. That is your profit.
Yeah. And we're talking about getting deals through your network here, and that's obviously a great thing and important. But there's a lot of other benefits that come out of networking, which is, I would say, you know, I guess I felt the way that probably a lot of people maybe hearing this feel, is that everybody's your competitor, and I don't want to, you know, networking was, you kind of almost, for some people, they find a way to not network because you feel like you're just arming somebody else to compete against you or whatever. But I think that was very short-sighted on my part. And if you're hearing this, I think hopefully you can rethink that, because this is a lonely business. If you're just kind of in your foxhole doing your thing, it starts to get old and a little boring. And, you know, I guess if you're a social person, you start to get a little lonely. And so it's good to just network with people. And it's hard to keep climbing that learning curve if you're having to figure everything out on your own. If you're not out like masterminding and hearing from other people talking about what's working and what's not working, then you're probably always going to be a couple steps behind the people that are. And then, you know, there's lots of other things that could come out of it, like joint venture deals or ways to work together, or, you know, sometimes you meet somebody and they're never going to bring you a deal, but they come across somebody that wants to lend money to real estate investors and they thought of you, or there's other things that could come out of it besides, you know, just deals for sure.
Right. I agree with that completely. So when someone goes to a networking function, do you have some tips for making the most out of those? You know, you have some people say, I'm going to go and meet a whole bunch of people. I wanted to interact with a few more quality people, you know, get to know those people, get to know what their business was about. And in that way, then I would know how we could work together. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I think I do think that that is another thing. Once some people have made the decision, I'm going to go to an event, they treat it like a buffet and they're like, you know, I'm going to get everything out of this place I can. And so it's like speed dating. You're just in business card collection mode, which I'll kind of tell you some thoughts on collecting business cards in a second. But it's not a bad thing, but I do think that, you know, if that's all you do, it's not about collecting a business card. Cause I'm just like you, Sharon, I have hundreds and hundreds of business cards in a box in my desk, you know, and, that's ultimately where things go. But if that's all you do, then, you know, I think you're missing the point. I think I like to say that networking is not the act of kind of collecting business cards. You know, I just kind of talked about the importance of follow-up in your business with leads. A follow-up in your network is really critical. So, you know, I kind of give this example of, you probably heard me say this before, Sharon, would just kind of give an example of, you know, going to a RIA club meeting, for example, or some sort of networking event. There's a lot of other networking events that aren't just RIA clubs, but and coming home with a pocket full of business cards, putting a rubber band around it and throwing it in a drawer to never be seen again. Mm-hmm. And if that's what you do, you've wasted your time to go to that meeting probably. So I would say the alternative is to, especially for the folks that you've met that you see some benefit, and this shouldn't all be about benefit for you. I think if you can help other people, that comes back around a lot as well. So you should also think about, you know, how can I build meaningful relationships, which has to be two ways, right? You can't just be about you.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Sharon, you probably remember on one or two hands the number of times, you know, recently, certainly in the past, I bet, year or two, that you've been to a networking event and you got an email from somebody the day after saying, hey, it was great to meet you yesterday. It was great to talk about this or that, right? I mean, it's so rare that you remember those instances, right?
Yeah, almost never.
Yeah. And it's like, but when it happens, you're like, wow, that, you're kind of, I mean, at least for me, I'm always like a student of, human psychology, how people act, like what do they do? What can I learn from that? And when I see that, I'm like, wow, that person, that's good. I need to do more of that. And I think that's exactly the thing is, it's not about how many business cards you collect. It's about kind of quality relationships. And I think, that if you follow up with somebody after the fact, you're going to be much more memorable, because just like the act of, you know, again, it's two-sided. So if you go to a RIA club meeting and you collect a ton of business cards, well, there could be some, whoever you were talking to probably talked to a whole bunch of people too. And how are you going to stand out from all those other people that they met? You know, there's some people people, if somebody's wearing a bow tie or somebody's got a top hat on or who knows what, the find ways to stand out, which is when you kind of see it, sometimes like, it's a little cheesy, but they're kind of branding themselves as that guy. That's the guy, that's the mm-hmm. bow tie guy, you know, whatever it might be. But another way to do it is not necessarily based on what you wear. It's kind of how you act. And if you follow up the next day and say, it was great to meet you. And, you know, just as a reminder, if there's anything I can help you with, or you could just say, hey, I know you were looking for somebody that's like, you're looking for a plumber. I've got a great guy. Here he is. If there's anything else I can help you with, let me know. And by the way, if you ever come across those things that I said I was interested in, you know, please let me know. I'd love a chance to work together on something. And that just carries a lot of weight, because it's so rare that that happens, and it helps you stand out.
So Mike, is that your process? That's how you handle it? You try to reach back out to those folks?
I do try to reach out to people, and I will say, you know, what I'm saying here is, I won't say that I'm an expert at doing everything I'm saying right now. I will say it's one of those things where it's like, do what I say, not necessarily what I do, but I know that that carries a lot of weight, and I try to do those things. In fact, I use, there's some tools out there you can do that are auto responders to respond mm-hmm. to a broad group of people, which is not necessarily the best tool for networking if you're really trying to build a meaningful relationship. For sure. But there is a tool that I use, I'm not sure if you've heard of this one, Sharon. It's called Contactually.
No.
And it integrates with my Google account, my Gmail account, so and some other tools as well. So it kind of pulls my contacts in, and I can put contacts into what they call buckets. So this is my kind of wholesaler bucket, or this is my other bucket. So It's not a cheap tool. I think it's for a single account. They probably have an entry level one that's free or close to it. I've used it for so long, I can't remember right now. But I think my account is, I don't know, $40 or $50 a month. But mm-hmm. I can put people into buckets, and I can flag people to say, let me know if I haven't talked to this person in a specific number of days. So if I haven't had an interaction with them in 30 days, then alert me, and it kind of gives me a task to, hey, you need to reach out to this person, or you could be 6 months even. But and it actually, I have an app, it integrates with my phone. So if I text them, if I call them, if I email them in Gmail, anywhere, it's syncing all that up. So it knows how I've interacted with each person that's in my account. For the more meaningful ones, like people that you know that you meet that, hey, this person, I'm going to put them in the priority bucket or whatever it is, it actually will tell you that you have not talked to this person for a certain period of time, and, you know, you're kind of behind, if you will. And so, you know, there's some tools out there that like that, that can help you with those relationships that are important, that you've kind of deemed are important, to say, to remind you that, you know, you need to do something here to continue to build this relationship.
So that takes autoresponders to a whole new level. So that's very yeah. interesting. I'll have to look into that. Now, folks, they seem to think, you know, they seem to be of one of two ways of thinking. They either only go to real estate events. I'm talking about real estate investors. They only network with other real estate investors, while other ones go to certainly real estate investing events, but they also branch out a little bit thinking motivated sellers are everywhere. Maybe they go to NABO or the chamber meetings or whatever it is they go to. What's your thought on that? Do you think it's worth your time to step outside of real estate events?
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on your objective, what it is you want to accomplish. And you have to, you know, like everything, you want to have kind of a strategy as to why you're doing these things. But I would say if you're looking to build a buyer's list, of people that could you could potentially wholesale houses to or sell houses to, then you know, a RIA club is a good fit because there are a lot of newbies there. Now you got to remember, there's a lot of people there that are so new, and they're kind of in that class that they may never do a deal. They just never get out of that fear mode. But there's clearly are people there that would like to do deals, and so that'd be a good fit. Now it could be if you're doing, you know, turnkey real estate where you're selling to people that want to buy rentals. You could go to some sort of professional networking group where there's people with higher net worths that would like to invest in real estate as well. So, you know, that's, it kind of depends on what you're trying to accomplish. If you wanted to raise money, you might consider going to a professional networking event that has nothing to do with real estate necessarily, but people that are looking for investment opportunities. And so I have, you know, back to the turnkey thing, I have a friend that I'm sure you know, Sharon, he has a turnkey business and he has a podcast on turnkey. And he told me a while back that he is starting a podcast in the kind of targeting people that are interested in wine.
Oh,
and
really?
I was like, what the heck? And he's like, well, you know, it's like just this idea of, hey, I'm trying to basically network with affluent people. It's going to be a more affluent, probably listener that's listening to a wine show. And they have a, you know, you just every once in a while, you kind of introduce them to the opportunity of investment opportunities in real estate. And so, it really kind of depends on what objective you're going after. Mm-hmm. But when I heard that at first, I was like, what the heck? And then when he explained it, I was like, oh, that makes sense. You're kind of going where everybody else isn't to attract somebody based on, you know, more of their kind of lifestyle and potentially, you know, net worth more so than targeting people that I absolutely know are interested in real estate investing.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because I know someone else who has a popular house flipping podcast that now has a different podcast that's more along building your wealth and million-dollar businesses and that sort of thing. So rather than try to combine the two, they've each done something totally separate. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you're always just a wealth of information, Mike. Let me ask you this. Do you have any tips for people for getting the most out of a networking event?
I think, I do think, yeah, some of this is going to be a little bit redundant. I think that it's important to kind of go into an event and have a strategy. And let's kind of step back from an individual event. I think some people, because ultimately it's not about the event. It's about what are you trying to accomplish to do something in your business, whether it's raise money, find leads from other wholesalers. It could be many different things. Is I think where a lot of people get hung up is it just becomes, it's so high level that it's kind of academic, like, well, I need to network. Is to kind of set small goals, just to basically say, hey, I need to find people that might be interested in lending money to a real estate investor. And you're never going to, it's going to be rare that you say, I need somebody and I go out and find one person and they lend me millions of dollars and therefore I don't need to network anymore. I think you should just generally kind of plan on casting somewhat of a wide net, but just to kind of set small goals to say for this month, I need to meet, you know, 8 people. And that means 2 a week or something like that. Mm-hmm. And just have a notebook or wherever you kind of keep goals at, and just make sure that you're kind of doing those bite-sized goals, because I think that's a little bit easier to execute than seeing, I need to build a network of thousands of people. It's like even the people that have done that, you know, on Flipnerd, we have over 50,000 subscribers now, but they happen one at a time.
yeah. You didn't get like...
It's overwhelming, but you have to look at it. Just take small bites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great point, and probably one of the biggest points people can take away from our podcast today is that what you do at a networking event or where you go, or you know, you have to know your objective, because everything's going to depend on what the result is that you're trying to get, and that the raising money is an excellent analogy, because you might look for private money in somewhat different places. Certainly, you could look at your RIA. There are certainly a lot of people that have a lot of money at most RIAs. But you may also, look a different place. So that's a good point.
Yeah, I think one thing I would offer up is a couple of ideas is to create a platform. And I'll just tell you kind of what I've done. And I just kind of fell into a lot of this. So I started by, once I realized the importance of networking, I was attending a RIA club. Actually, I was a sponsor at a local RIA club for many years. And we had kind of a vendor table and we would meet people. And, the challenge with once I had kind of committed to, I need to meet people, I need to do this in bigger ways. Then what I said was, well, the challenge with my RIA club is generally it was just a monthly meeting. It was kind of a monthly general meeting. And then for the other 29 days of the month, there was no opportunity really there. So what else can I do? And so what I started to do was host what I called Rehab Live. So at that point, we were rehabbing. At any given time, we were probably rehabbing maybe 5 to 7 houses. So we had a lot of activity going on. And I just started, I was going through the motions of, if I went to check on houses, it was just, I'm going to walk in for 15 minutes and then get out of here and go on to the next one. And I'm just there. It was very kind of utilitarian. I'm just going to make sure this rehab's on track and I'm moving on. And then it kind of hit me that there's a ton of people that have never done a single rehab. And I was obviously at that point, and I would get a lot out of just the experience of it. It was almost like kind of the entertainment side and the education side. So it's like, well, what if I invite people over to like watch us rehab this house? And so anyway, the long story short, what we did was I started kind of doing these, what I called Rehab Live. And I would go out to the RIA club that I was a sponsor of because I had access to email through there. And then my buyers list. And, we started to kind of build a list of who we would invite. And we would invite, as many people as possible. And then at this event, we would ask people to come over 3 times. They would come right at the beginning before we even started. And we would always pick like some of the nastiest houses that needed the most work, because those are the ones that are the most fun to kind of watch the transformation. And we would meet there 3 times. So at the beginning, and then we would, typically, unless something has structural damage, or we have a lot of foundation issues in the Dallas area where I'm at, but unless it had, foundation or structural issues, or it was a burnout or something like that, we could usually rehab them in 3 to 4 weeks. So we would meet halfway through, about 2 weeks into it. And then we would meet 2 weeks later when the product is finished, and people would kind of just ask questions like, well, why did you do that? Or how did you do that? Or who did you use for this? Or I would have done it differently. A lot of people, would say, question why you made certain decisions. But just that experience of kind of seeing that happen and being allowed to ask questions and have kind of a discussion about it, that a lot of people got benefit out of that. And so I did that for a while. And I don't know how many of those we did, probably 5 or maybe that was more than that, probably closer to 8 or 10 over the course of a year and a half period. And then I said, well, how do I take this to another level? So I had kind of a videographer follow me around sometimes, and we would do the same type of thing and just create a video, videos of it, like 3 or 4 part videos that we would leak out every couple of weeks and put it all online so we could kind of cast a wider net outside of my market now. And then that evolved ultimately to a podcast, the Flip Nerd podcast that we started. I've actually recorded 299 episodes of the show. And so we're about to hit 300 episodes. And then we've also started another podcast now called REI Classroom that we publish a podcast every day on that one. And that's about a 5 to 7 minute kind of little lesson. Ultimately that evolved into the membership site, which is flipnerd.com. And so it's just kind of always like taking it up to another level of how do we cast a wider net and how do we meet people? And then how do we add value, and why are we, kind of have some strategies to why we're doing all this. And so I think, but it all started with going to a RIA club meeting.
Yeah. You just laid out the ultimate example of repurposing content. So you find a house, you rehab the house, then you have the meeting at the house, then you have the videographer and put the house online. That is the ultimate repurposing of a single thing I've ever seen. Great job.
Yeah, I think there's something I was going to say about it. I do think that there's value in using – some people forget the platform that they have. So if you're a wholesaler and you wholesale houses, you know, I know somebody else that used to wholesale. They had a house that they wanted to wholesale, and they could have just – you know, some people just get to a point to where they're like, give out the lockbox code and go tell me what your offer is or tell me if you want to buy it and kind of just throw it out there, throw it over the fence. But this, I know somebody else that used to use it as an opportunity to build his buyer's list. And before he started marketing the property, he would literally, these are usually some kind of disgusting house. He would literally haul a grill over there and say, hey, we're going to have a, you know, this is inside of the Homebusters. We're going to have an ugly house cookout type thing. And literally he would haul some drinks and a cooler and a grill over there at like lunchtime. So people could like leave their job and come over there. And just some kind of quick, come check this out and, you know, build up a buyer's list that way. And then, of course, you know, then you might get people competing for the house as well. But it was a way to kind of build relationships and meet people kind of on your own platform. So whatever that is, if you have knowledge, if you have houses, you know, some of these small type networking events, it's super easy to create a meetup group or a Facebook group or something like that to where you can kind of have a funnel to kind of corral people together to get to meet them and for them to meet each other. And so there's a lot of ways that you can, you know, network these days. And I think the key is just to kind of get started, just take action, right?
Yeah, I agree. Now, we have a program it's a regular program that's been around my area since I've been a member. It's called LOTS. It's Learn on the Site. And the Tuesday, they just, you know, the Tuesday after the regular monthly meeting, they host a luncheon, and it's the same thing. You go see an ugly house in some stage of rehab. Some of them they'll, you know, go back to a couple of times, and then they provide lunch. But it's a great time where people can learn the figures, learn the scope of work, and get to network, you know, and get a free lunch.
Yep.
Well, Mike, as always, I really appreciate you coming on the show. What's the best way for people to reach you?
You know, the best way at this point is just to come connect to me on FlipNerd. So a lot of folks don't know this. We have some functionality that launched a few months back that is not widely known yet. In fact, we're actually going to be completely relaunching the entire site here in another month. But you have just kind of like LinkedIn or anywhere else, you have the ability to connect to other users and have profile pages, you know, very similar to LinkedIn or anything like that. So I would just look me up on FlipNerd.com.
Okay. And for folks that haven't been over there, I can tell you firsthand that it's a great site. Go over there and check it out, FlipNerd.com, and I'll put the link here in the post. Well, thanks again, Mike. This is Sharon Vorenholt, and I'll be back soon with another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing. See you soon.